Yeah, so we've been San Francisco, San Francisco, LA, everywhere. Vancouver, Montreal, Richmond, Virginia, Alabama, Atlanta, Detroit, Chicago, but everywhere.
We're cool as a cucumber now.
Okay, so I guess where are we and what's your name?
Yeah. We're at the MIT Media Lab. My name is Leah Beakley. I'm relatively new to the Media Lab, so I arrived here in January. So I've been here about 9 months. And I'm starting a new research group here called High-Low Tech.
Okay, and I guess that's kind of what we're here and we're interested in. We're touring the country visiting hackerspaces because we are interested in people that make stuff and kind of like take technology into their own hands and take basically what they want to see in the world into their own hands. What does High-Low Tech mean to you? Like, why is it called High-Low Tech?
Yeah, so I'm primarily interested in finding ways to empower people to work creatively with technology. And I think an especially interesting way to do that is to blend technology with more traditional making practices, and especially with traditional arts and crafts and traditional building of stuff like furniture and painting and clothing and pottery. So trying to blend the universe of low-tech making and the universe of high-tech making, because to me they seem to have a lot in common. And by kind of bringing those things together, we can also bridge all sorts of interesting cultural divides as well, I think.
So what are a few of the commonalities you find between high-tech and low-tech?
Yeah, I guess the commonalities, and thinking about the commonalities, really came from my own background and my own experiences as, on the one hand, being always just really into doing arts and crafts. So as a kid, I was really into doing textile crafts, so sewing clothes and making handbags and jewelry and things like that. And then on the other hand, I was always really drawn to the mathematical sciences, kind of intellectually. I loved mathematics and I loved physics. I was actually a physics major in undergrad. But those two universes were really spread apart for a long time until I discovered electronics and tinkering with electronics. And I love building electronics. And for me, it's the same sort of feeling and the same experiences that I have when I'm building just craft stuff. And so it seemed really natural to combine those two worlds, because just personally, it felt to me like there was a lot of commonality. And I figured if I felt that way, probably lots of other people would feel that way.
Yeah, so you're saying that you feel like lots of other people feel that way as well. And I'm wondering if you did find a community around these connections.
Yeah, so it's been, there are a couple of interesting ways that I've found community around these connections, I guess. So first and foremost, I found a wonderful community when I went to graduate school. So I was part of this great research group called the Craft Technology Lab in Boulder, Colorado. So that was a really wonderful place and a wonderful group of people. And being there let me explore some of these ideas. So that was one community. Then I feel like the just growing online community of people who are interested both in craft and in tinkering with electronics, that it's been really exciting and fun to be a part of those, both of those communities, and to kind of watch them grow and blossom. That's been really neat. And then I've also been excited to see communities develop around some of the tools that I've developed. That's been just kind of amazing and strange and wonderful. So there are now, you know, people around the world are using some of the tools that I made, and there's at least some evidence in the research that we've done that some of the people who are using the tools that I've made are people who were into crafts but weren't really into electronics before, and that we've, I hope, helped to bridge those worlds a bit.
Yeah, so I guess, could you just describe one of the tools or some of the tools that you've made?
Yeah, so primarily, I mean, a project that I've been working on for the past several years is called the LilyPad Arduino, which is a toolkit that allows people to sew electronics and little computers and little sensors and so on into textiles, so into clothing or into curtains or pillows or kind of all sorts of different kinds of textile artifacts. So that's a project that I've collaborated on with Spark Fun Electronics. So there's now a commercially available toolkit that spun out of research that I did, and people are actually using it to build stuff. So, and all sorts of different kinds of people are out there using it to make hybrid craft technology stuff, so that's been really fun.
Cool. So a lot of we're visiting these places where people gather together in sort of a community to make and build and share and learn. And your devices actually have been popping up in the spaces that we're visiting. And I'm wondering how you see your kit fitting into a place like a hackerspace.
First of all, I think hackerspaces are wonderful, and part of what feels like a really blossoming movement in just making and building and, you know, kind of a move away from consumption and towards creation and construction, and so that's awesome. And it's great to hear that people are using my tools in those spaces. A lot of what I'm excited about specifically in my work that I feel like is sometimes maybe underserved or just kind of underthought about in some of these communities is who the communities engage. So one of the things that's been interesting to me in developing the LilyPad project is that it engages lots of women, and women are traditionally not as present at hackerspaces, and not as present certainly in, you know, computer science or electronics tinkering communities. So I think that if we can recontextualize technology, and if we can recontextualize hacking just by integrating it with different kinds of materials, so for example, textiles, if you just do that simple thing, if you kind of shift the material context, you attract a really different audience to experimenting with the tools. So I think the problem isn't that women aren't interested in electronics. The problem is that they're not interested in robots or radios or remote controlled cars. But as kind of the LilyPad project has shown, maybe they are interested in interactive fashion or paintable computing, or kind of lots of other things that are part of our lives, but just people don't think about them in this kind of making, hacking, tech context. And there's no reason that they shouldn't be thinking of them in those contexts. So,
So a lot of the places that we go to are saying, oh man, innovation comes from the distribution of ideas across different backgrounds and across different fields. And you look at them, and they're all the same type of person. Is there anything that you think, besides having the kit available, that people can do to encourage more diversity in their spaces?
Yeah, I think first of all that it's important for people to realize that the materials and the tools that they use always have an implicit audience. So the Lego Mindstorms kit, for example, that kit was made intentionally or not for a specific audience, kind of naturally resonates with a specific audience. And I think most of the tools in the electronics, you know, hacker space resonate with kind of that same audience. So like young, maybe, you know,